RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Government to maximize peatland economic development. BNPT requires special prison for terrorists. Now the news in detail. In addition to its primary target of restoring 2 million hectares of peatland that had been degraded by the recurring forest fires, the Peatland Restoration Agency, BRD, is also seeking to boost Indonesian agriculture sector in peatland areas. BRD head Nasir Fuad said on Friday that he had received instruction from the presidential office to look at the economic aspect during the restoration project on which the agency, in response, would seek suitable methods to restore damaged peatland, while at the same time increasing the livelihood of the local people. Furthermore, sustainable agriculture practice and the government's restoration project would support each other. He said productive agriculture did not only mean production as a productive agriculture could only be achieved if the peatland was restored. The Environment and Forestry Minister said it was still in discussion with Nasir on the possibilities of converting open access peatland to becoming a social forest. The National Counter-Terrorism Agency, BNPT, wants to establish a special prison for convicted terrorists to prevent them from spreading their radical ideas to other prisoners and planning attacks from behind the bars. The newly appointed BNPT Chief Tito Karnavian has told reporters recently that the special prison might impose maximum security for its inhabitants and will limit communication among convicted terrorists. Under the new scheme, the prison will categorize convicts in the three levels, actors, supporters, and sympathizers. Tito added that the convicted terrorists have manipulated the system in conventional prisons. Law and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lawli said that his ministry would consider Tito's proposals. Indonesia's total outstanding foreign debt grew at a slower pace in January on the back of decelerating public debt and declining private debt as economic activities remained low at the beginning of the year. Central Bank said in a statement that Bank Indonesia considers the external debt situation in January 2016 as healthy but continues to be vigilant against any risk to the national economy. Moving forward, Bank Indonesia will persist in monitoring the development of external debt, especially private sector external debt. It is intended to ensure that external debt can play an optimal role in supporting development financing without incurring risks that may affect the macroeconomic stability. According to Bank Indonesian data, 53.4% of the overseas debt in January was borne by the private sector and the remainder by the public sector. Being under pressure from the government to its policy to boost growth in Southeast Asia's largest economy on Tuesday, Bank Indonesia (BI) cut its key rate for the third time this year to 6.75%. Now Governor Agus Martowardoyo is putting the ball back in the government's court. He said the government has to explain revenue and subsidy concerns in order to get Standard & Poor's to upgrade the country's credit rating to investment grade, which could reduce borrowing costs. He said Indonesia is attracting capital flows in line with improving economic conditions, with inflation and the current account deficit under control, although fiscal concerns are obstructing a rating upgrade. The World Bank said it expects the government to miss its 2016 revenue target by 275 trillion rupiah, or around $20.99 billion. Governor Agus added that the government needs to set up a mechanism to determine retail fuel prices after it removed subsidies at the start of 2015. To meet the increasing demand for the electricity in Jakarta, state-owned electricity company PT PLN and Jakarta Administration have recently signed an agreement to boost services by constructing 58 new high-voltage distribution plants. PLN President Director Sopian Basir said that the provision of high-voltage distribution plants, GITED, would contribute significantly to the electricity service for residents in the capital. He added the plants that in the capital are overloaded as they had been running at 80% capacity, with some even more than 90%. Chopin explained that Jakarta's demand for electricity was increasing as daily load curbs had been reaching 6,500 megawatts in the evening and 7,300 megawatts in the afternoons. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama also said that the administration would ease permit acquisition to support the construction of new plants in the capital. Joko Widodo administration is expected to make a more active and leading role in resolving the protracted territorial dispute in South China Sea as a way to assert the continuity of Indonesian foreign policy tradition. This was affirmed by visiting U.S. scholar Donald Witherby on Tuesday. Donald Witherby, as an advisor to the non-profit organization United States Indonesian Society, USINDO, said that Indonesian government had failed to apply to the principle of independent and proactive diplomacy when it came to the South China Sea dispute, sparking debate on whether the leadership of Joko Widodo had altered the state long-held stance on foreign affairs. Indonesian Institute of Science Lipi researcher Adriana Elizabeth brushed aside the notion that Indonesia was passive, arguing that the country had acted consistently within the confines of its foreign policy. Indonesia is not a claimant nation in the dispute, but fellow ASEAN members of the Philippines. Vietnam, Malaysia, and Brunei Darussalam are among those that have challenged China's territorial claims in the South China Sea. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Press Review. Very significant events that occurred this week are summarized in the Press Review. Let's begin with Kompas newspaper. In this editorial on Thursday, it writes, "Thanks Pravin Debi. Not seated, but have become a surprise. Thanks Pravin Jordan and Debi Susanto for winning the 2016 All England Badminton Championship Mixed Doubles. The pair, Pravin Debi, give positive energy to the sport in Indonesia, especially badminton. They evoke optimism amid noisy atmosphere in the country due to many issues created by the elites. Because of their hard work, the name of Indonesia is echoed in the international sporting stage, especially badminton. In the final round, Pravin Debi beat Danish pair Joachim Fischer-Nielsen and Christina Pedersen, two straight sets, with a score 21-12, 21-17. This victory saved the face of Indonesia. The success of Pravin Debi in their All England Championship debut is actually not something that happened instantly. Success requires discipline, hard work, and continuous practice to achieve a peak performance. All parties appreciate the involvement of Jarum and other companies to develop Indonesian young athletes and deliver them to the top of their accomplishment. Now we move on to Koran Tempo Daily, which in its editorial on Friday writes, "Reject restrictions on independent candidate. Manoeuvres to revise election law on governors, regent and mayor will make it difficult for independent candidates show the panic among elite's political party. With the current condition, the move made by members of the House of Representatives is difficult to accept with common sense. The reasons for freeing requirements to revise the law number 8 of 2015 on independent candidates seems heroic. The strengthening of democracy. The politicians also argued, It is to equalize the terms for independent candidate and a candidate supported by political party. If it is made more difficult, the chance for the emergence of independence candidates will be increasingly small. Chairman of the Governance Committee of the Board, Rambe Kamaruzaman, stated, "There are two options that supports the requirements of 10-15% or 15-20% of total voters list as evidence by their identity cards. The old requirements was between 6.5-10% of the final voters list. They argue that the requirement for independent candidates should be balanced with the requirements of party candidates. According to Tempo, it doesn't make sense if the terms of individual candidates equated with the provisions carried by the party candidates. Political parties have an organizational structure from the village to the center, commonly referred to as the political machine. The government also has given special treatment to the party. Among others, the funding that is calculated from the votes in the previous election. Aggravate the requirements for independent candidates equal to emasculate public participation guaranteed in the Constitution. Independent candidates is a form of a popular participation not accommodated by the party. The government must act firmly to confront this House maneuver. President Joko Widodo has indeed warned that the revision should not just for the sake of short-term interest. The public should see to it that the president's statement is not corrupted by politicians from the House or even by his own men. Let's end press review today with Media Indonesia newspaper, which in its editorial on Friday wrote, "Longing for ideal transportation. One of the problems in the public sector that hasn't been overcome until today is transportation. The presence of application-based public transport could add to the complicated problems of Indonesian public transportation. Instead of being a solution, it has even become a polemic. On the one hand, the public have responded positively to the application-based public transport, for admittedly it offers cheaper price to customers. But on the other hand, operators of conventional transports are against it. A compromise must be obtained as soon as possible in order to provide benefits to the people. The presence of application-based transportation has broken the rigidity of public transport in this country. Uber Taxi, Grab Car, and Gojek has proven public transport does not always have to be expensive and difficult to access. By leveraging technology, they bring cheaper prices which are easily obtained without neglecting safety and comfort. With all of the advantage, it is only natural if people are interested in using the services of application-based transport. According to this daily, application-based transport cannot be stopped. It should be more developed instead. Of course, its existence must be legal. This can also be a trigger for conventional public transport operators to organize. That way, people really get the ideal transport services." That was Press Review. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event on March 19, 1932. Sydney Harbour Bridge was opened for the first time. Since 1815, there had been proposals to construct a bridge to connect the northern and southern coasts of Sydney. On July 28, 1923, the construction began. The construction of the Harbour Bridge in Sydney, Australia took 10 years and even took 16 lives. The 134-meter tall bridge and the 1,149-meters long spanned around 6.32 million pounds sterling. And finally, the bridge was opened formally on Saturday, March 19, 1932. In its early time, Harbour Bridge was passed by 11,000 vehicles in daily basis, and now the number soared up to 160,000 daily. According to the Guinness Book of World Record, Harbour Bridge is the widest suspension bridge in the world. We continue into 1949, new Constitution of East Germany was ratified. People's Council of Eastern Germany, occupied by the Soviet post-World War II, ratified the new constitution which signified the secession of Germany. the states of Germany began the search of conflict between US and Soviet Union, even before the end of World War II. Soviet want the German to be stripped from their weapons, while US is the opposite, beginning seeing Soviet as rival, wanting Germany to have complete weaponry, a pro-West country. When the World War II ended in May 1945, Russia occupied most of Germany, including Berlin. After negotiations among US, Russia, Britain, and France, the region occupied for US and Russia was set. Berlin was divided into two. Its eastern belonged to Soviet, while the western to the US. We end today in history into 1951 with Iranian oil nationalization. On March 19, 1951, the Iranian Parliament and the Senate ratified the law on Iranian oil nationalization. The ratification was a victory of Iranian people, led by the ulemas who at that time staged a mass demonstration against the foreign imperialism on their land. Besides ratifying the law, the Iranian Parliament also appointed Dr. Mossadegh as the Prime Minister who served the law. With the Iranian oil nationalization law being ratified, the Western countries embargoed oil trade from Iran. Britain, which controlled the oil industry in Iran, even brought the issue to the then Hague Court, yet ended with defeat. With support from its people, the government of Iran still implemented the law on June 18, 1952. The British oil companies were fully taken over by the Iran. Listener, that was the day in history.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's edition is on Parliament passes bill on the prevention and handling of the financial crisis into law. A plenary session of the House of Representatives last Thursday passed the bill on the prevention and handling of the financial crisis, formerly known as the Financial System Safety Net, into law. The passage of the bill into law will lay down the legal basis for a deposit insurance scheme and mechanism for providing an emergency financing facility from the central bank. This law will be a legal framework to confront a crisis that threatens the national financial sector, especially banking. It took 8 years to pass the bill since the government submitted it to the House for the first time in 2008. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, who attended the plenary session of the Parliament, said, "The law will become the legal basis for the Financial System Stability Committee to maintain the stability of Indonesia's financial system effectively and efficiently and able to withstand the turmoil that comes from inside and outside the country. Financial System Stability Committee is composed of the Ministry of Finance, Bank Indonesia, the Financial Services Authority, and the Deposit Insurance Agency." Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said, "The main focus of the law is to prevent the financial crisis by addressing systemic banks' problems." He explained, "Prevention and handling of systemic banks' problems is important because it can lead to a systemic bank failure of the payment system, as well as the non-functioning of the financial system in an effective and direct impact to the economy. Nonetheless, monitoring, maintenance and handling of financial system problems are also conducted on the fiscal, monetary, financial services institution, financial markets, and financial infrastructure, including payment systems and deposit insurance." In his explanation before members of parliament, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said, "Law on the prevention and handling of the financial crisis ensures that the handling of the liquidity and solvency of banks is more complete. The mechanism is from the provisions of short-term loans to the Deposit Insurance Agency to the transfer of part or all of the assets of the troubled bank to another bank or a new bank. The President as head of state and head of government is in full control in the handling of the financial system crisis and will make decisions based on the recommendation of the Financial System Stability Committee and decide the banking restructuring program. Overall, The Minister of Finance expects this law may be a legal basis to maintain stability in the financial system to make it more effective and efficient in the face of domestic and global economic challenges, which are increasingly diverse. That was Focus Today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. In addition to its primary target of restoring 2 million hectares of peatland that had been degraded by the recurring forest fires, the Peatland Restoration Agency, VRG, is also seeking to boost Indonesia's agriculture sector in peatland areas. The National Counter-Terrorism Agency, BNPT, wants to establish special prison for convicted terrorists to prevent them from spreading their radical ideas to other prisons and planning attacks from behind the bars. Indonesia's total outstanding foreign debt grew at a slower pace in January on the back of decelerating public debt and declining private debt as economic activity remained low at the beginning of the year. Being under pressure from the government to ease policy to boost growth in Southeast Asia's largest economy on Tuesday, Bank Indonesia BI cut its key rate for the third time this year to 6.75%. To meet the increasing demand for electricity in Jakarta, state-owned electricity company PT PLN and Jakarta Administration have recently signed an agreement to boost services by constructing 58 new high-voltage distribution plants. Joko Widodo administration is expected to take a more active and leading role in resolving the protracted territorial dispute in South China Sea as a way to assert the continuity of Indonesian foreign policy tradition. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand. Turn with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. Magnificent beauty of nature among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful. Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to Pacitan, East Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, Pacitan is a regency where former Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono was born. This regency is also called 101 Cave City because there are so many caves in the regency. Pacitan is well known not only tourism objects but also typical foods. One of them is lodo rice, which is favorite food of Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. Listeners, lodo rice is typical food which uses uduk rice as the main material. Uduk rice is white one, which is cooked with coconut milk and ingredients such as salt, lime leaf, and lemongrass leaf. To serve lodo rice, we add chicken with sauce of coconut milk. To make more interesting when serving lodo rice, we eat it by using a plate from bamboo and banana leaf as placemat. With a few like that, you will be tempted to taste it. Listeners, besides chicken with sauce of coconut milk, lodo rice is also served with raw vegetables, tomato condiment, and also urap. Urap is salad dish of steamed vegetable mixed with seasoned and spiced grated coconut for dressing. When you eat chicken, you will taste different savory from the food. Because before the chicken is cooked with coconut milk, it is previously roasted. The speciality of the taste of the chicken is because it uses kampung chicken. To serve it, spread chicken with coconut milk sauce to make more savory. This food is not spicy because chili is entered into the sauce in intact. If you like spicy flavor, you can add chili or tomato condiment chosen suitably with your taste. With unique concept, lodo rice is suitable for breakfast, accompanied by a cup of tea. And for lunch, the food is suitably accompanied by young coconut ice. Listeners, if you are in Jakarta and want to visit Pacitan, you can take a train to Solo. Arriving in Solo, you can go to Tirtonadi bus terminal to Pacitan. It takes around 4 until 5 hours. Before you go down to beautiful places in Pacitan, we suggest you to taste lodo rice. Mm-hmm. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the creation of environmentally friendly plastic bags made of durian seeds. Indonesian Anti-Trash Day celebrated by the government with starting the paid plastic bags program aimed to reduce plastic waste in Indonesia. Related to the problem of plastic waste which has increasingly become out of control, colorful this time regarding the creation of plastic bags made from seeds and of course environmentally friendly plastic bags. Indonesian Anti-Trash Day this year was celebrated by the government with the launching of the paid plastic bags program aimed at reducing plastic waste in Indonesia, which has increasingly become out of control. Stacks of plastic waste on the ground can impede the flow of water in the soil, also as to stacks of plastic waste on the ground can impede the flow of water in the soil so as to trigger flooding, while the solution to reduce plastic waste through recycle seems to be less effective. Combustion to reduce plastic waste will pollute the air. Out of concern over the effect of plastic bags, which is increasingly from time to time, five students of Gajah Mada University or UGM, Fajar Bayu Prakoso, Andika Cahya Widyananda, Anissa Fakriyah Rofi, Diah Ayu Permatasari, and Aditya created Bioplast of Durian Fruit Seeds. Fajar Bayu Prakoso, as head of the team, said plastic made from materials that are difficult to decompose or non-degradable will cause environmental problems. It takes quite a long, between 50 until 100 years to break down. Durian seed was chosen as the basic material for the manufacture of plastic bags because it has fairly high starch content, nearly 50% of its weight, higher than cassava, which is around 20%, while starch acts as filler in the mixture so that the bioplast plastic has high density and tensile strength. Utilization of durian seeds as bioplastic materials can also suppress durian seed waste. Until now, the waste of durian seeds are just thrown away. According to Fajar, he and his friends has started a research on durian seeds bioplastic since mid-2014 under the guidance of a lecturer in the Department of Chemical Engineering, Faculty of Engineering, Professor Rahmadi. The first step in the manufacture of bioplastics is to pound durian seeds into flour, then soak it in lime water for 2 until 3 days to remove the sap from the seeds, then dry them until the sun for a day. Once dry, the hard durian seeds are separated from the brownish white stretch on the inside and turn it into flour using a grinder. The flour is then dried in the oven about 30 minutes to remove water content. In the study, the 5 students used a sample with a weight of 50 grams, which can make as much as 3 until 4 bioplastic seeds with the size of 13 times 13 centimeters each. The plastic was implemented in the soil or compost media and was biodegraded within 2 months.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, turn with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the 3 awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destinations in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's World Cultural Heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia, and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 95.5 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Syahrini. This singer, who has original name Rini Fatimah Jailani, was born in Bogor, West Java, 10th of August, 1982. She has released 4 albums. Her 4th album has the title Princess Syahrini, which was released on January 27, 2016. This album consists of 4 new songs and 4 old songs, which were taken from her previous album. Listeners, to initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Kau Tak Punya Hati, sung by Syahrini. Enjoy the song.
Ooh.
Listeners, you have just listened to the first song entitled Kau Tak Punya Hati, sung by Syahrini. This song is one of hit songs in the album Princess Syahrini. The message of the song is so sweet and delivered through Syahrini's acting, which amazes. The song is composed by Syahrini herself and tells about sad feeling of a girl because she was left by her lover. Story of the song was inspired from her own story. Listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Dream Big by Syahrini. Happy listening.
From a grain of sand to a castle in the sky, nothing can stop this giant, this fighter. This time we will never quit running. There was no more walking away. Nothing can stop this giant, this fighter. This time we
Listeners, that was the second song entitled Dream Big from Syahrini. Dream Big is an English song collaborated by DJ Kevin Bunt. Due to Syahrini often meets with DJ Kevin Bunt, finally she created a song together with him. According to Syahrini, it is normal if a singer like her has big dream. She also said success or dream of someone begins through dreams. When launching her album, she further said that when holding a show abroad, she was proud to be able to sing a song which can be understood by foreigners. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the songs entitled Seperti Itu dan Cetar. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Boom shake 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 boom. Boom shake 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 boom.
Sedikit-dikit kamu marah. Aku makin cantik kau marah. Maunya kamu aku diam tak kemana-mana
bagai burung dalam sangkar.
Seperti itu. Jadi buah si malakama. Aku cinta tapi terkekang. Maunya kamu aku diam tak boleh bersolek.
Jangan sampai tambah cantik.
Seperti itu. Seperti itu. Kau punya pacar janji.
Boom, shake, 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 boom.
Dimanapun banyak yang
boom,
suka.
Shake, 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 boom.
Kau ikuti aku terus sampai ku susah bergerak. Maju, mundur, maju. Cantik, cantik. Cantik kau marah. Maunya kamu aku diam tak kemana-mana
bagai burung dalam sangkar.
Seperti itu. Jadi buah si malakama. Aku cinta tapi terkekang. Maunya kamu aku diam tak boleh bersolek.
Jangan sampai tambah cantik.
Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
We'll be right back.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.